This live broadcast of the Petersburg School Board meeting is brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset, from stamp or teacup collections to houses and boats of all sizes, and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.
A minute and a half after six, a school board meeting about to start. They're gathering over in the high school library if you'd like to attend the meeting. And we have the agenda online on our website at kfsk.org. Forecast for this evening: rain, lows in the mid-40s with east winds to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, much the same. And rain may be heavy at times tomorrow night. Rain may be heavy at times on Thursday, becoming showers Thursday night and Friday. And rain is likely Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And highs are going to remain in the mid-40s, lows around 40 over the next seven-day period. Our marine forecast locally: Frederick Sound, southeast winds tonight at 15 knots, seas 3 feet. East winds tomorrow at 20 knots, seas 4 feet. And then Thursday is southeast winds at 20 knots, seas 4 feet.
I move that we approve tonight's agenda. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Jay. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Agenda stands. The first item that we have tonight is our student presentation. This is from the Career and Technical Education Program. I need a little recap.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right. We have Thomas Durkin, Maddie Gilpin, Jaden Perry, and Zephyr Whitethorn here to give a shortened version of the presentation that you gave when you were in. Well, tell us a little bit about it. Come on up.
So a couple weeks ago, the gang went up to Anchorage and we gave a presentation for the ACTE conference in front of a bunch of shop teachers and people that were interested in education for kids in shop. And we told them what we did, and it went over really well. It was about an hour presentation, and we had people lined up out the door.
Okay.
It went over really well.
That's awesome.
I think Zephyr is first. Tell about what we talked about.
And Maddie, do you want to just give your first and last name? When you...
And I'm Maddie Gilpin.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Zephyr Whitethorn, and we started out the presentation talking about independent shop classes. And because me, I've taken three now. I'm taking two this year, and they helped me a lot with just being more independent and being able to work on projects by yourself, but still have the teacher there to help you when you need it. It's really helpful for after high school when you need to work on your own equipment and you're capable of doing it. So that was one of our big points. And then we talked about some of the like projects that we've done in the Metals 1, Woods 1, Metals 2, Woods 2, the projects, like the basic ones you start out with to get you familiar with all the tools and everything. And then Thomas started talking about his bumper that we built last year. He can talk about how we designed it.
Yeah, and then I started talking about independent projects that we have done, and the first example that I made is my bumper. And you can see up here we have another independent project that Zephyr and I are working on. It's running boards for his truck. What we do is we cut it out on the CNC router with cardboard to make sure it all fits together after designing it on Rhino in the shop. And then once that all fits together, then we move to the plasma cutter, which we cut it out in aluminum, and then we weld it together, and it fits up pretty nice. Also, what we talked about is the Viking ship that we made for Mr. Vic, and we have another model right there. I think Jaden's going to talk about that. And also, after the presentation, we went to Seward, and we took a tour of AvTech, and it was really nice. They have good programs. 10-month programs is the highest it is, and then it's also very cheap. But it's a very nice facility, 3 meals a day, housing, and yeah.
So I'm Jaden, and something that we did that I ended up doing last year with Thomas and Zephyr is we built an 8-foot Viking ship for Dan Vick because he passed away and the family wanted a Viking memorial. And so Mr. Owens approached me with this idea. He gave me a very beautifully artistic drawing. It's on a piece of wood up there if you guys want to look at it. I really think you guys should. It's
which one?
Astoundingly that one. Breathtakingly artistic, you know. And so he gave me that drawing, and he was like, I need you to make like a Viking ship. And I'm like, how big? And he's like, well, 8 feet. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I can do that, yeah. And so it started out with just building it on Rhino, and then I ended up cutting out the prototype on the laser engraver, and it's right there to make sure everything fit all together. And then we cut it out on the CNC. And it took a few tries with some of the ribs because it looked kind of wonky at first, mm-hmm. and the wood wouldn't bend as well. And the boys helped me, and I pieced it all together and put the boards on and stuff. And then once it was done, we finished it about Mayfest, I think it was Mayfest, and the family came and got it, and they painted it up, and they were able to have their Viking memorial, and it was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then another thing that I ended up talking about up there with Maddie was the importance of girls in shop programs. And one of the main points that I was kind of going at was that having girls in shop programs who enjoy trades and those types of blue-collar work, it gives more people into those types of jobs. And, you know, we're kind of slacking on the amount of people in those jobs that with the demand that we need. So it definitely helps with the amount of people.
And then, along with all our other things doing in shop, we also have the CAD program, which is involved with the elementary school a lot. Like, our recent project at the time was we made, like, a pathway for the elementary schoolers in the lunchroom out of vinyl stickers. We just kind of made, like, fruits and vegetables out of vinyl, and then we stuck it down on the floor. And it was really neat to be involved in every step of the process, where we got to design and then manufacture the stickers and then even put them in. And we are very grateful for Ms. Khan to involve us in that. And after our presentation, that was a really good success up there, we went to the Moose's Tooth and we got to experience the food up there. And we highly recommend that restaurant.
Awesome. Can you guys tell them a little bit about what Rhino, like a little bit more about the software?
Gene's the Rhino expert.
Okay.
So Rhino is a type of AutoCAD program, and we used to use the actual program AutoCAD a very long time ago, but...
When did we stop using AutoCAD? When you came in, didn't you?
Maybe.
No?
Yeah, we didn't use it since I've been here. So I
okay, so since Mr. Owens has been here, they haven't used AutoCAD, but I kind of know the program, and it's a lot more difficult. So Rhino is pretty much a type of AutoCAD program where you can design 2D models, 3D models of anything you need. It has pretty much all the tools you need, and the Rhino 6, which is the newest update, came up with a bunch of really cool things. So instead of having to trace an image by hand, you can now just put it in and it traces it for you. It saves a lot of time and stops quite a few tears. and so that's pretty cool. And so, yeah, it's pretty much just a program where you can design things, and then from there you can export the files, like, as a DXF or something like that, NC. So NCs go to the CNC router, and DXF can go to the new little carving machine that we just got, which is a mini CNC router. Or they also go... Actually, yeah, you don't need a DXF for the laser engraver. You can just print it right out of CAD right there. So that's what Rhino is.
Does anyone have any questions for them? No? How many of you do you think will go into a trade after school? 100%? Awesome. Excellent. Well, I'm glad that we're able to offer this program here at our school, and I'm glad that you guys are enjoying it and speaking to others about how great that the program is throughout the state. I know that it's a big focus with this particular administration, but like Jaden said, there's definitely a need, I think, for you guys who are entering the workforce to have these skills. So it's awesome. So congratulations for a great presentation up in Anchorage and for us tonight, too, as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
It's awesome.
Thank you, Mr. Owens.
Can we take those back to
you
me?
Can.
You guys have time to do that? Or do it in the morning?
Yeah, we can.
All right, we will move.
Here, I can get the heavy one.
I'm actually going to go with
that. We'll move into our student representative report, Miss Maria Funt. What's going on at school?
Okay, so since our last meeting, I brought up the Safety Summit conference with the general ASB meeting and let them know if like any of themselves are interested or if anyone they know is going to be interested. Come talk to our superintendent, Ms. KP, and that's for next year. So that was just to see if there's interest in the school body. And there's a few people who, a few underclassmen who were really responded to that, so that was cool. We also decided that the executive board will be meeting during this Thanksgiving break to get started on amending our ASB constitution, which we've been talking about for a while now. And then at the closing of our meeting, we decided that there is going to be a competition for the new school bell. So since the beginning of the year, at the beginning of the year, the school bell was changed to Winchester Chimes, something like that.
Yeah.
Westminster Chimes.
Yeah.
And there's some negative feedback from the school body. And so during our ASB elections, one of the slogans was, change the bell 2019. So we're getting on with that. And to make it a little bit more fun, we decided that the students of ASB can come to our next meeting with different tones or chimes that they think is best. And then we will send out a survey to the rest of the school body. And the school body will vote. And yeah. And then whoever wins gets a school sweatshirt. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Fun.
That was pretty much our meeting.
Are there guidelines around that bell, or can they submit?
Well, I think technically you can submit whatever you want, but I think Mr. Dormer, Mr. Shumway has veto power, so, yeah.
That's true. How to make it happen.
Mr. Tate has figured out how to.
Anyways, it's a work in progress, so, yeah. Any questions?
Sounds fun.
Do you guys have any questions?
No. Congratulations on participation at state in swimming. Good job. Well done. Irene, is there any correspondence?
No.
Any comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items? Any comments from the audience related to agenda items? Any comments from board members? All right, we'll move into the consent agenda. I move that we approve the consent agenda, which includes October 2019 monthly accounting report, bills, payroll, electronic fund transfers, ASB trial balance, and P-card statements in the amount of $888,795.07. It's just 1 month. October 8th, 2019 regular board meeting minutes, and the 2019-2020 extra duty contracts for the high school basketball head coach, girls, high school girls assistant basketball coach, Matt Palak, high school boys basketball head coach, Rick Brock, high school boys assistant basketball coach, Mick Petruski, high school student government advisor, Rick Dormer and Tim Shumway, splitting that. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Katie. There's no discussion on consent agenda. Irene, please call the roll.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Marla Chomsky?
Yes.
Katie Holman?
Yes.
Cheryl Pyle?
Yes.
All right. Consent agenda passes. Moving right into administrative reports. We'll start out with Superintendent Clute Painter.
Okay, let's see. So we do, it was really nice to start off this meeting with the CTE students after their trip that they took. It was really successful. They kind of downplayed it a bit, but they really did have people out the door. So I heard from other people around the state who were at that conference that said that they were just really outstanding representatives and well-spoken and just, yeah.
Were they one of the only student presenters that were
in
the
I believe so. Yeah, so that was a really a great thing. And then just to put in a little bit of a plug, that part of how we did pay for the students, they do all happen to be migrant students, so that's another one of the ways that we're able to utilize our migrant funding. And speaking of that, we actually have been reallocated a pretty substantial amount of migrant funds that were not used last year in the state, so they kind of plugged them all back into a formula. And so we have a meeting tomorrow, actually, about that. It's, substantial, like $45,000. So continuing to put those back into these types of programs. So we always have lots of ideas and a long list of things for kids, you know, to do, and hopefully with feedback from kids, too. So anyway, that's a pretty exciting thing. One area of increase with some strings, of course. Another way that we are able to use some of the migrant money, the federal dollars, in combination with our Title I dollars, is to support professional development for our teachers. And so we do have a group of teachers that are gearing up as a team to go up to the technology conference in February. We're already planning for that. And then also to the RTI multi-tier system of support conference in January. And that's also in combination with additional federal dollars from its Secure Rural Schools, separate grant. So that's how we are, if people are wondering out there, how we are able to still support professional development. There's some designated dollars for that that are coming from other pots of money at the federal level. So we are appreciative of that. Our in-service day and a half were successful. We had a lot of work accomplished there within both buildings, a lot of good planning, and I'll let Mr. Dormer and Mrs. Kahn talk more specifically about that, but a lot of good department meetings and planning for the year and starting to really look about at class offerings and already next year and the next couple 3 years and just thinking about, you know, budgets and where we're going. And let's see, what else? Probably just one quick thing. We're kind of partnering and encouraging people to come to the, there's a free flu pod point of dispensing emergency preparedness exercise that's happening in the community gym on Thursday. We may have some students helping with that. So I don't know if the word is out there, but that's not just a school thing. It's just a community thing. And it's between 2 and 5 on Thursday in the community gym, and people can come get free flu shots if they want. So just a little bit of information about that in case people are wondering what's going on with people coming in and out of the gym on Thursday afternoon. And that's open to anybody. And I think that's it for me.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. Any questions for the superintendent? Elementary principal's report, Ms. Heather Kahn.
Hi, good evening. Well, we've had a busy month, and we're going to have busier months ahead. We had, since our last meeting, we had Damon Bell Holter come into the schools. That was absolutely outstanding, amazing. We've used some of his remarks, his quotes, for our daily quotes that we do at the elementary school. We do weekly challenges, so we've incorporated some of what he has said into our weekly challenges. Just trying to follow through and make that as consistent as possible until his next visit. The kids really they responded well, and I think they had a lot of fun with him. And those little kindergartners with this big 6'8" guy, this was great. They were really cute. We went to the principal's conference. That was, again, thank you for allowing us to go. That was a great opportunity. I have known a couple, because we went to school together throughout Alaska, and it was a great chance to get together and to see them, as well as to build relationships with other people around Alaska. We had our Red Ribbon Week, was the week of Halloween, and we had all kinds of great themes. The kindergartners actually become Spider-Man if they wear the Spider-Man costumes, so we really try not to have the Spider-Man costumes come into the school. So they wore red on Halloween, which was a great idea. We had tutus and leg warmers and shirts and pajamas, and it was great. And they did not become the Spider-Mans or the Supermans that were climbing walls and shooting things. Our in-service was October 31st for a half day, November 1st. It gave us an opportunity to really pull out our science kits, look at our kits, and kind of match the standards, the new standards that have come out to that. We also did a lot of grade-level collaboration. We have every grade except for second and third grade who has a new teacher in it this year, so that was really super important, as well as some technology training from John. We have some new things coming out with Start With Hello and our PBIS that we are going to be presenting in January. Just little things like our Stedman Eagle visiting at least once a month, and really looking at what our PBIS looks like and who's going to be those PBIS winners for the month and what we could do to help them feel important and that they're making a difference. And so we're pretty excited to show you guys a video next time in February, not January. The conferences are coming home. The conference slips are going to go out next Monday, November 18th. The report cards will go home on Friday, November 22nd. Conferences are going to be held on Monday, November 25th, and then Tuesday, November 26th. We will have Thanksgiving break from Wednesday to Friday, so no school November 27th through the 29th. We are in need of substitute teachers and paraprofessionals, so just having no subs on our sub list, we have to close down programs that those kids use daily. And so if we have the sub pool, then we're able to keep those programs going on a day-to-day basis. And we are looking for hallway reading. So hallway readers, we have some nice cushy chairs if anybody's interested in coming out and reading to our kids and volunteering. And Mr. Bunky's back, so he has taken up claim to one of those chairs. It's been great. I believe that's it on the update. Any questions?
Okay. Thank you. High school principals. Report, Mr. Rick Dormer, and I just want to recognize that Sarah Holmgren has joined us.
Do you want me to talk about those, or wait?
Oh, no, you can't.
Can we? I'll turn them. Yeah. They're all of us.
Yeah.
Took mine off at the end of the day, but yeah, I can.
How about those?
Good evening. Mic working okay. Oh, well, exciting time to pass around a couple books there from the Principals Conference. I'll end talking about the Principals Conference, but there's two of the three speakers, and the one that Katie's holding there from Tom Murray was one of the speakers that are nice, and the other principals were able to go to dinner with them and saw them. I was in two sessions with Tom, and she has the same book. So I think we're going to do a little principal work book group. Yeah, be fun.
I'll join you.
Okay, there we go. Three of us. Deal. thanks. Just lots of thanks for the Veterans Day Assembly. I hope that some of the board is able to make it, and those of you could, and those of you listening on the radio. And again, just thank you. Just such amazing veterans. They stayed, you know, and shake all the kids' hands, and I just love the connections and the so many people in the community. You look at what Carol Candle and that group of the Rain Country quilters and the cool things they did. And just thanks to people like Jim Engel, who continues to be kind of a guiding source after many years of experience. Met Lenhardt and the great music district-wide. We had all three buildings singing and performing, that kind of stuff, which was cool. You know, talking about Joe Lenhardt and getting the students ready, Greg Kowalski in the elementary school, Deanne Dahlberg and Joanne Day helped with the middle school student council, of course, our superintendent, leading the show and coordinating all the pieces between three buildings. Heather and helped me a lot, and of course, Dan Tate, and you guys did a bunch of work beforehand and afterwards cleaned up so our kids can get back in the gym. And, I mean, it's it is a large production. It's very, very worth it, but we do want to thank. There's lots of faces don't get seen in there, so thanks. That was cool. I enjoyed that quite a bit. Middle school activity day and night. So we had our activity day and did some pumpkin bowling and mummy wrapping. You probably heard from your kids that came home right before Thanksgiving. Excuse me, right before Halloween. They amped up on sugar at school, and then but they had fun and celebrated a successful quarter. And then we did have our first dance, and that's always fun. The sixth graders kind of wide-eyed walking into a middle school, you know, dance and the. All the activity in the gym, and again, lots of teachers just staying active. I saw them play basketball with kids. Mrs. Dahlberg loves Just Dance, and she crushed all of the students I hear at that. So she doesn't want too many people to know. So if you're listening on the radio, pretend I didn't say that, but she's very good. And that's fun because you just get active. I go and kind of dance in the background, and I start sweating too bad in there. And it's fun. It's fun. Fun thing. So thanks. I know the teachers, it's a late night for them. I appreciate their time there. It's fun. Congratulations, just to Ms. Turner, and working through our Signs of Suicide curriculum, again, completed with that, which is obviously very powerful information for our high school kids. And thank you to Peter for Mental Health and our partnership, and they help us with that. And then we have started Second Step curriculum being delivered every other week, along with our positive behavior intervention support. So every Tuesday morning, 1 week, they do PBIS lessons, and the next week they're doing, the teachers actually delivering Second Step. Jenna did an in-service to kind of train them on this, and this is positive relationships and skills and kind of tools for middle school students. So we're doing it 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. So we have this alternating program, and I'm really excited. Teachers say they're going well, so that's neat. And I talked with her this morning. She took off today for the Alaska Counselors Conference. Goes up a little bit early to talk about our SAP grant and meet with those folks. But we talked about the Alaska Safe Children's Act also and some great lessons as the as our superintendent would tell us, we are leading the state in the time and energy we put into this, and it's such great information. And of course, the state you know has some great ideas, and there's no funding or really resources for it yet. So Jenna's really putting time in because it is important to talk through this. So those will start. We are partnering with WAVE for these, and those will begin in January. So working on those lessons coming up. Whew. Good job, Mister. this is kind of fun. I don't know if you saw. There's a picture of a goofy guy over there. Passed the badge around. So John Tanner, this is the superintendent leading this as well. And they're district-wide just because I wanted to get out because I've been wearing mine for a little bit. I think you got yours. Ms. Kahn has hers, and then I know Mr. Engel got his. And so we're very close to unveiling. We are, so staff will be wearing badges, as we should, just to help identify. And as we are in a place and we talk safety, and again, Ms. Peterford is such a safe place, but we also don't want to be naive. So. Things like to help identify who should be in the building and who should not be in the building, and that's so we're getting there. Kind of cool. Again, John Painter putting a ton of time into this, and fun. Our own little Ja'Kyle is there working on it, and he's just so crafty with the tech and has been helping print these out. So it's cool to have a student in there doing a lot of the work.
Ja'Kyle. Ja'Kyle.
Yeah, Junior. He's really personal. He works out at TU. He's a really, really great kid. So this is a skill he has, and so he's working to produce these for us as well. So fun. So you start seeing more of them, and then visitors, we're going to ask them to wear them, and then we have visiting teams, that kind of stuff. I don't know if we've gotten to the kids, but I know the coaches will have little visitor badges, so we're trying to get that step. So again, district wide, thanks Mrs. KP for helping us get there. It's cool. Just also an update on the local scholarship survey, and I know the board took those, and then it has now gone out a similar, a little kind of pared down, but very similar survey has gone out to the actual grantees of the scholarship. And I believe actually Ms. Turner sent that out there. Mm-hmm. Ms. Sue. Mm-hmm. KP and I talked and looked over it, and then we sent it out. So we're gathering more information. We have some good results from that first survey and getting a little more information, so we'll keep talking about possibly changing up how we present these local scholarships. And they're a wonderful thing, and they're a very generous thing for our community. And they're important. We want to do them their due diligence, and so that's where we're getting a lot of information on what's next. So I wanted to update the board on that. Mm-hmm. Anything to add on that?
Nope, I don't think so. Okay. Just that we'll probably have a separate, you know, event and a nice separate event.
That's what it's looking like.
Yeah.
So. And then my last two things, one just a follow-up, one neat thing from the in-service was we had lots of little things over here for secondary staff. One thing we talked about professional learning communities, and we're kind of hybriding them, and right now we have some work groups. So one of the things is talking about high school, middle school conferences and trying to make those the best they can be. We did something different this year and had them earlier, and we did three nights instead of two nights. There were some positives. The resounding negative for teachers was that we did it right before the end of the quarter, which is a great time to meet with parents. But it cut into a lot of time when we have a lot of kids busily wrapping up things for the quarter, and then it being pretty kind of wiping out kids and teachers getting through that busy time right up to the quarter. So we realized it was a good idea in theory, and then we put into practice maybe it wasn't the perfect time. So we're kind of adjusting and trying to figure it out. So we have a teacher work group that's kind of working through that. We're talking about freshman foundations and better ways to continue to support our freshmen, knowing that is statistically one of the most key grades in the entire school career as far as indicating future success outside of post-secondary success within high school. So that's important. We're talking about ways to do digital ed. If you've heard maybe some of that, I know that's always a tough one. We get new students, students that aren't here in eighth grade or that don't get that digital literacy, which is where we try to teach them to be safe online before we hand them this powerful laptop and say, there you go. And so we require that, but it's really tricky because we want them to get through the information where they bring it home, but a lot of kids are coming here and then they're going through school, and then they have another course added on, and it's adding a lot to it. So we're not willing to give and say that it's not important to give, because being safe online is so important. There's so much risk to it, and we are obviously giving them this power, so we want to educate as well. So we're trying to figure that out. It's a cool thing to talk about. Another fun one is the English Language Arts Department is talking about authentic sources, and Mrs. Lenhardt is putting a presentation together to present at ASTE. She's going to present it to the school staff here on Valentine's Day, February 14th. It's on the calendar, so the board's welcome to come and see. I think it's going to be pretty cool. Just about finding things online and what is authentic and what isn't. You know, it's kind of fun stuff. And in this day and age when everyone's searching up all kinds of stuff, what is legitimate? Yeah. So it's going to be a neat presentation.
The kids get to hear it?
Yeah, exactly. I do believe, yeah, that's the intended, yeah. And then a couple other groups. There's a group talking about the Glacier Survey and updating that. I think they're applying for some grants to update the equipment there. Mm-hmm. And then our career technical education teachers. So cool to kind of talk about some ideas and get the teachers at work solving some such great minds and experience. And then finally, thanks again for the principal conference. Had a great time. I got to chat with ourselves and with other people and meet all kinds of stuff. I personally attended a couple social-emotional learning, one specifically by the superintendent of the Anchorage Schools, Dina Bishop. It was very powerful, and I stole a bunch of it, put together my own presentation to give to staff, so we're waiting to do that. And the book you and I released, Lisa Pianowski, got to have meet with her several times, and that Architects of Learning, that was a great presentation. Tom Murray was outstanding, and I'm talking about authentic learning. A quote I stole from him I wanted you to hear was, he talked about learning to fail forward. Mm-hmm. If that feels like me daily in my job is failing, but at least failing in a positive direction and continuing to get better. That's what we work on here at the school. I didn't buy the book from Beth Huff because I'd met with her last year, but she also came out to it. She was really positive. She was a book called Leading Like a Pirate, which is kind of fun. She's a middle school principal, has some really cool ideas. I believe in Missouri, does that sound right? Maybe.
Yeah.
She shows her videos and stuff. She's really just connects with kids really well. Her quote I wanted to say was, she says, "We get cacti all year long," speaking of administrators. "It is our choice if we want to sit on them or not." That also sounds like my job, so thanks, Ben. I appreciate that. Any questions for me? Sorry, I talked so long.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Director of Activities, Mr. Jamie Cabral. We have some home thing this weekend?
We do. Last home volleyball games on Saturday. So come on by. Boring world of activities. Lots of stuff going on. Swim State, congratulations to Maria. Ooh, did a wonderful job. They got to swim in the Mount Edgecombe pool as well. Hopefully not the last time. Maria, Peter, and Maddie attended State Swim. They did fantastic. They're exciting races up there as well. So congratulations on a wonderful season. Thanks to all the parent swimmers, Coach Carlisle, Coach Evans, and Viking Swim Club for hosting our home meet. It was a wonderful home meet if you were able to attend. some really exciting relays. Our high school theater productions has started. They had their first meeting, so they're getting ready, and they've got quite an idea. I'm not going to take their thunder and tell you what their idea is, so I'm going to leave you guys in suspense. They got some really cool ideas for their theater production this year, so be ready and on the lookout for that. I believe the date is March 6th and 7th. It's the first weekend in March is when it's going to be for the high school play. Very exciting. Middle school basketball and cheer wrapped up at the Stikine tournament. Both our boys teams finished first, and both our girls teams, our A&B, finished second at the tournament. And got a lovely email from a staff member at Craig Middle School that our students and coaches cleaned up so well when they left that they are welcome anytime. And it was very cool to hear that, getting that email from their staff member there at Craig Middle School. And so our kids did well representing. Wrestling going great. We have really big numbers this year. We're up in the 17-18 range for high school wrestling. So I cannot wait to do our numbers this year because our participants are up and our enrollment is dropped. So that's really exciting. I'm thinking we're going to be in like 92, 93. That's my guess. That's my guess right now of participants. Last home volleyball game this Saturday, 5:30 is at JV and 7:15 for the varsity. Last chance to come see them, and then they go off to wrangle for regions Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Very odd days to host the region tournament just because
fairies.
Helping Skagway and Haynes get down here so that they miss limited amounts of school as well. So working through those challenges and looking at our winter schedule. We had some things change with the ferry system too. That'll change kind of how we do things, and we just kind of adapt and overcome. And then our Pixelot camera has arrived. So very exciting. I think it came in an Israeli wood box with very big leather handles. It was secure. Oh, let me tell you, it was pretty cool. So we are working on our tech department, Mr. Painter, is working on the logistics of when it'll be up and everything else. So really, really cool to have that here. It is a really cool little system. I was actually looking at some middle school games today just to see what the Pixelot was doing. And I think it was halftime of a middle school game somewhere on the East Coast, and it kept tracking the guy cleaning the floor. So the guy was just going up and down the court, wiping the floor, and the camera just kept going, and it zoomed in on him, and Rick came by and goes, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Checking out this Pixelot camera." And it's actually like, it's really clear. I mean, it is HD clear. It is pretty neat. So, and while he was sweeping the floor, it just kept following him the whole time. So pretty cool. So we'll have that system here shortly. It'll be kind of cool. All-State Music is coming up. We have one participant, Brooklyn Dormer, who will be representing Petersburg High School at the All-State Music and Choir event coming up in November, the 21st, 22nd, 23rd. And then we have a home wrestling meet on November 30th for a one-day wrestling meet. So that's Thanksgiving week, just that Saturday. So one chance to come and see our wrestlers before they have another week. And then regions, so coming around the corner. And then I'm heading to Anchorage Thursday for state committee meetings. There's six of us who'll be talking classifications for the future of all the high schools in the state of Alaska, as well as out-of-season contact rules and everything else that'll go on. So kind of a big deal with classifications and what are we going to do and how are we going to classify schools on enrollment or many different things and ideas, fairies and all that stuff. And so I think up north, the latest I heard, this is a very interesting story. I think there's some spots where they're not going to plow on the Kenai Peninsula. And so they're having the thought of, well, how are we going to get there then if you don't plow our highways? And I go,
good luck.
Southeast troubles. So I think that's
fly.
Coming down. Fly. Yes.
Fly
yes, it's coming down the tubes on that one. So. But yeah, so it'll be good. Lots of good things happening, and our kids staying involved and staying busy, and some really good things. Seniors are all academic kids are doing amazing. I don't know if you know this, but at every region event, every senior that has a cumulative GPA of 3.0 or higher gets recognized, and a lot of our seniors are getting recognized for that. So pretty cool, and kudos to them for working so hard. So, yeah.
How does was it today, right? Petersburg competed the
eSports.
Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. I did not make it to their game today because our early practice, but they have been doing amazing.
They won every
all
of them.
They won all of them
that they've played so far.
Anchorage, it wasn't?
Was, Yes. Yep. We had some substance today. Yep. Yep. And then the first one I know was a team that this is their first year doing it, so they didn't have enough, so they just kind of did a scrimmage, and then last week they performed amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really, really good. Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot more teams popping up, which is great because it is really hitting a different population of students. And I think Edgecombe had a really good problem of what do we do with 80 kids that are interested in participating in esports.
Oh, so, my goodness, they had
80 that were at the interest meeting. So I'm not sure how that has come down, but they had 80 kids interested in participating.
Even if they got 50%, that'd be...
Yeah, yeah, even if they got 50% of their enrollment, you'd have 200 kids participating in esports. So, yeah, then you have a problem of we don't have enough computers, maybe.
Yeah.
So, but really, really good. So many kids trying to be involved. With a lot of stuff.
It's fun to come watch.
It is, yes.
Jack does a great job.
He does a great
commentating.
Job.
Commentating.
Yeah.
It's pretty.
Yeah, my middle child is addicted to watching and wants to be the water boy. So.
It's a tough time for some of the middle school boys that are in dance that's at the same time. So they skipped a few weeks ago and went and watched.
Yeah, exactly. So there's two seasons, too. There's a fall season and a spring season.
Okay, so maybe that'll work.
There's multiple times for them to come and see. Yeah, yeah. That way, you know. Multiple people can participate in that one too. Questions?
Thank you very much. Director of Facilities and Maintenance report by Mr. Daniel Tate.
Good evening. An era of calm and normalcy has finally descended on the facilities department and crew. Our two CIP projects, the food service renovation project and the underground fuel tank, carried on into the fall with punch lists and warranty items for the former and a very delayed soil shipment out for the latter. We are basically mopping those projects up now, and we're preparing to complete our Department of Education closeout paperwork in the near future. So,
yeah,
almost done. The calm has allowed Rands and I to prepare for winter, begin our annual preventive maintenance program, and begin working on our deferred maintenance items. This is a touch late, but it's better than not beginning at all. And as you're aware, I traveled to two conferences this fall. I was a member of the School Safety Summit team, which has been previously reported on, and I also attended the Alaska School District Maintenance Conference hosted by AASB and our insurance company, APEI. I believe this year's conference was possibly the best one I have attended in terms of information gleaned and contacts made or renewed. Now, highlights include, now keep in mind that these are cool topics to a wrench head like myself, maybe not so much for all of you. We had a detailed look at how the Anchorage School District, the Anchorage School District's maintenance department, how they responded to the 2018 earthquake by invoking the incident command system when they were cut off from the district's administration that fateful morning. They were ultimately able to resume school 1 week after the quake due to a massive mobilization of people, vendors, and equipment. And the security camera feed of the event was quite chilling to observe, I can tell you. There was talk about moving to greener and safer chemicals, always a good topic. HVAC equipment anomalies, troubleshooting and tips and tricks. So I had a post-discussion in the lobby with the presenters of that topic, and I got to bring back some information that helped Mr. McIntosh solve a vibration issue in one of our large fan units that has been plaguing us for quite some time, so that was another win for us. There was the annual discussion on boiler operation and maintenance safety practices. That's one we do all the time. Also, a detailed look at air leakage analysis and energy conservation strategies for buildings. That was a tough topic to get through, but it was a good one. But finally, the one that really got the interest of a lot of people was principles of filtration and air quality measures. And this was done by a company called PacWest Air Filters. My counterparts at this event were really talking this one up after they were done. They discussed how the industry standard air filters, and I got a couple here, are very familiar to homeowners. We use these too, especially this style here. If you can imagine them being 2 feet by 2 feet and then having banks of them maybe 12 feet by 12 feet high. And we have about a dozen machines. And they have various configurations, but you have all these filters butted up against each other. And, of course, these filters are made out of cardboard, and we're in a moist environment. So the air comes right in from the outside, hits these things, and before you know it, they start crumbling within a few months. So we're changing these out a lot. And this type of media also loads up really quick because there's, and I'm going to show you in a minute what the difference is, but There's only one pass through here, and these things load up really quick, and then as soon as they are filled up, they get heavy, and the air pressure behind them makes them crumble more. So what you get is air bypassing these filters. And when the air bypasses the filter, and it gets into your heating coils, and your heating coils get dirty, and then all of a sudden you're using more fuel to heat your school. Then it gets into the electric motors, and that shortens the life of the electric motors. And then, downstream, it gets to all of us, which we're breathing. Now, I'm not saying that our air is dirty by any means. We change our oil filters four times a year, 3 to 4 times a year, depending on the system. But what this company has come up with is a really cool product that has different layers of filtration. It has three in particular here. The first layer catches all the big particles. The second layer catches all the medium, and then this last one is kind of a, you can't really feel it, but it's got a little tacky layer to it and catches the real fine stuff. So it disperses all that particulate and dirt coming in. And so basically they don't load up as fast, and you can probably get by with 2 changes a year, maybe even 1 in some places. So all of a sudden now, when we go to this type of filter, we're saving on material cost, about half, manpower, about the same. You know, we're not spending all the time and effort to do that. It's keeping our equipment cleaner and machinery's lasting longer. Now, I talked about air getting past some of these filters when they're butted up together. You know, when you have cardboard against cardboard and all of a sudden they're wet and they're getting all wonky because they're dissolving. They're not dissolving, but they're caving in on each other. What they do is they pleat them in sections. So now you don't have any gaps. And nothing can get through except filtered air. So I'm not holding that very high because I'm not as tall as Mr. Cabral. So. And the cool thing about this is these costs are pretty much the same as what we've been paying for. Now, that is an industry standard. We haven't been doing this out of malice, or not malice isn't the right word, but out of carelessness. But this is just a new product that's on the field, and it's basically hitting the market strong, and we're going to be an early adopter. We had PacWest come down 2 weeks ago on their own dime, and they measured out all of our filters that we're going to need, and they'll have those shipped out to us sometime in the near future. Cool. So that's what we're going to conserve our money for other projects in the school district. Nice. Are there any questions?
I have a question about how is the disinfectant gun going?
Pretty good.
The one that we showed you, is it
cut
cleaning time?
I know that two of our custodians have really taken to it, and I'm going to be talking to the others to make sure that they're picking it up as much as well.
I just thought about that when I saw your visual aids stand.
I thought of it too, so I'm really glad you brought it up.
So when you see that skinny layer there, Cheryl, you can feel it's got a little bit of tack on the inside. Just, it's kind of imperceptible to us, but it's there.
Maybe something the borough might consider for their new building.
Mm-hmm. Once we get this in place, I intend to bring other people from the borough over to see what we're doing.
Dan is the master of finding ways to do things
better
and save money. It's amazing.
To maintain these borough buildings.
Amazing. amazing. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Dan. You're all right, school board committee reports. Cheryl, is there anything to report from CRACIS?
Nope.
Anything from curriculum, Katie?
Nothing new that I know of.
Anything from facilities, Jay, beyond what Mr. Tate just gave us?
I don't think he's got covered. We're planning on a meeting after all these big projects are done, I believe.
Yeah, so we find out what our financial situation is.
Yeah. There's no real legislative update. We are out of session right now. No negotiations. Policy, Sarah, looks like you need to set a date.
Yeah, I think we'll probably, I don't know if we'll even make it into December. I leave a week from Wednesday and then, I mean, I don't mind meeting the first part of December before it gets too nutty, before the school gets out.
Think about that, maybe that first week in there.
Okay. We'll figure out a date.
Okay, sounds good.
Anything from technology, Jay?
Nope.
Wellness, Katie?
Yes. Good to do a committee report. So we had a meeting on the 24th of October, and there was just a lot happening, really. They talked about the 1801 grant and the counselor conference and all of that. And then looking for ideas moving into next school year and what they can use some of these grant funds for. So they're looking at ideas like for school nurse possibility, or a community clinic in the school, which would be really exciting, and that would just be allowing students to come and actually see a doctor and make sure they're all caught up on whatever they need to be caught up on, get their physical for activities or all of that. So it's just an idea right now, but they're exploring that option. Bring your parent to PE was happened, and they said they had really great attendance. They're planning another one for February or March. So have that on your in your mind for the springtime. Start stretching now. Lunch program in the summer, Carly reported on that, and it was really awesome having it at the library. She said that they were able to provide meals to more of the disadvantaged families, which I really hate that term, but for lack of a better word right now. Yeah, just because of the location of the library, and so they had more of those families actually getting meals, which I think is really important. So I'm really glad that I know they were displaced because of the renovations, but Carly finding a way to make it work really worked for really well for a lot of our families that really needed to make sure they had meals. They are going to do a bring an adult to lunch day again sometime in December, so I'll be looking for your invite in the email. Ricky told us about the Let Me Run. Obviously, they did that on Saturday, which I wasn't in town, but I heard the weather was fun.
The weather was terrible.
I am impressed with anybody who counted it.
Did you run it?
I walked behind. I was okay.
Okay.
I was really sad to miss it because I had attended the last 3 years now as their photographer, and so I missed it this year. Super bummed, but those boys and the coaches just do a phenomenal job. It's a great program. And they're going to start doing that again, the Girls on the Run program and the middle school Let Me Run in February and March. So, Ninja Nick's coming to town in January. That's exciting. Be ready to warp wall it, everyone.
That's right.
I'm going to have surgery on my wrist so I can keep up.
Is he bringing the warp wall?
We're building it.
We're building it.
What are we going to do with the warp wall after Ninja
Nick?
Well,
we have to find a place to put it.
Are we going to allow kids to use it after? Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, good. Yeah. I got to get this wrist fixed, you guys.
Yeah, you do.
Field of Dreams.
That's right.
Yeah. And then so Ginger kind of spoke about the school health index as well. One of our big weaknesses is we obviously don't have school nurses, so they're trying to find ways to work around that. Some of our strengths are counseling and community involvement services that we provide here, and behavioral health kind of stuff and mental health stuff, which I think we all know is a strength. And that fact was reinforced at my conference this weekend, and how wonderful Petersburg is at making well-rounded humans, which I'll talk about that later. But there's your wellness committee report. Yeah.
Katie should be on the radio all the time.
No, never. Thank you, though.
So for information, if you're kind of wondering what Ninja Nick is, American Ninja Warrior star, I would put that
absolutely
out there that he's a
great
star.
Great motivational speaker, too.
He is from Alaska, I think.
Yeah. Oh, that guy.
Uh-huh, and he has spoken, he's a GCI ambassador. I mean, GCI kind of has him going around the state on suicide prevention, because that touches really close to home with him. But then he is also this athlete with Alaska Native Olympics as well. Like, Alaska Native Olympics is kind of what led him into American Ninja Warrior. So the warp wall is a wall that kind of comes back on itself. Mm-hmm. And it's like 18. How big are you guys building it?
I got the supply list.
18 or 14 feet high, like really high, that you have to kind of just make your way up. Mm-hmm. When you see kids run up the sides of walls, that sure was the inspiration.
I think that's where it was from.
And he spoke at the conference last year.
2 years ago?
Yeah. No, it was just last year.
What was his name?
Nick Hansen.
Okay.
Yeah. Send you some video clips.
Mm-hmm. Last year was last year.
I think the kids are going to really enjoy having him around.
He's awesome.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. And Mr. Lister's helping us with some housing.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Oh, and Mr. Brock also said, speaking of the Native Youth Olympics, he's going to hopefully go to the gym classes and teach some of those skills. Yeah, he is.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, so that will be really cool.
Yes. He's incredible to watch those.
It is.
All right, moving into old business, we have policies. We have some policies at second and final reading. And did you guys read off the list last time?
You betcha we did.
I move that we approve these listed policies at second and final reading. Those include Board Policy 4000, All Personnel Concepts and Roles, Board Policy 4020, Drug, Tobacco, and Alcohol-Free Workplace, Board Policy 4112.61, Employment References, Board Policy 4119.25, Political Activities of Employees, Board Policy 4119.41, Employees with Infectious Disease, Board Policy 4132, Publication or Creation of Materials, Board Policy 4313.1, Load Scheduling Hours of Employment, Board Policy 5030, School Discipline and Safety, Board Policy 5124, Communication with Parents and Guardians, Board Policy 5131, Student Conduct, Board Policy 5132, Dress and Grooming, Board Policy 5137, Positive School Climate, Board Policy 5147, Dropout Prevention, Board Policy 6115, Ceremonies and Observances, Board Policy 6141.3, Culturally Responsive Education, Board Policy 6142.5, Environmental Education, and Board Policy 6143, Courses of Study. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Sarah Holmgreen. Any discussion? It sounds like a whole lot of board policies, but the majority of them are just wording changes. Perhaps, do you have any things to say about them? They're not changing any
None of the intent course is of changing. Policy. Some of it was adding language to kind of go with the
I think I made a note in it what was taken out because it wasn't highlighted.
Probably because it was from my previous when we read them. That's not in the second reading. Yeah, so first reading would have had it.
Yes. Yes, I did. I remember now.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Board.
Do we recess to a
We
have to have a public hearing. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I was thinking that. I don't know why I thought it was the first reading.
All right, I'll open the public hearing. Is there anyone here to speak about board policies in the second and final reading? Okay, closing public hearing. All in favor signify by saying aye again, please.
Aye.
Or nay, if you so choose. Motion passes. The board policies pass in second and final reading. Now move into board policy 3515.5, which is restriction on sex offenders on campus. I move that we approve this board policy at first reading. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Sarah. I hear that you had some questions. You tabled the discussion last
mostly just because we felt like there were only three of us here so that were able to attend. So I thought it was, we kind of agreed that it'd be nice to have a full board or at least one other, you know, just to make sure there wasn't any concerns. And then I gave, I guess, the public, if they had an opinion about it, a little bit more time to kind of give us some direction. But I actually didn't hear from a single person. Most of them, they were concerned. You know, I had one person ask me about it, but they were, oh, do we have a problem?
And I got like, that
no.
Yeah.
So we have the absence of no policy, you know. And so that wasn't anybody's concern. It was just more they were wondering if it was an alarm, you know. Is that a bell going off? No.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We're just setting a policy.
And it was
attempting to set a policy.
Exactly. And it was good to know that in the past when we have had situations, because often in small towns we will be made aware or we know ourselves and have confirmed that we have followed
at least pretty darn close to this one.
Laid out.
I know we're going to clarify what they meant by event. Does that mean like the theater or...
So I did, what I did is I went ahead and just put this in a Google Doc. I talked with our attorney, John Searle, about it, and I just kind of left his notes, and then I can add a few more if you want, and then you guys can discuss it. So he had added in the very beginning, up here in pink or red or whatever the color is, prior to restricting any person accused of a sex offense from campus for being a sex offender. So his whole point was And they try to make that very clear in here, like, mm-hmm. you need to verify that. If you have a concern, you should definitely verify it. If there's an actual, if something happens in a public facility, or there's an actual, you know, a concern that somebody comes forward, they see something, they're not sure about something, they don't understand what's going on, if there's, like, odd behavior or something like that, that's something you just address and deal with, you know, like, mm-hmm. if there's an actual safety concern, like, right up front, that's kind of a whole separate issue, but this is just make kind of repeat that, like, you need to make sure you know and you know, confirm that, mm-hmm. I guess, before denying access. This paragraph, which is basically the second paragraph, I believe, he struck that last sentence because he said, he felt like it was a little bit of overkill, and also just that that's by saying this policy shall apply when district or school administrators are actually aware that a person in question is on the registry. They've already stated that above. I mean, you're
redundant.
Yeah, it's redundant, and you're either acting on actual information or you're not. And we're not the police, and he was very clear about making sure of that too. Like, you can only act on information that you know and mm-hmm. you know, can confirm. So that was what that was. And then his comment about that was also like, does this mean that if the district does not know that someone is a sex offender, then the person can come on campus? And he said, I don't think that's what was intended by the language, but, you know, it's always that mm-hmm. Lawyer brain about it. So the policy should apply, including that a district official does not have a duty to investigate every person who comes on. You know, like, you couldn't, like, at a ball game, I don't stand at the door and have, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, have a, I really would need to give a different.
I think we're looking for clarification on the theater, too, or did we?
The movie theater and the.
So I have an answer for you on that. So what he also said is going down further on the. So there's two sections about sex offenders who do not have children enrolled in the district, mm-hmm. and then another section about people who are parents or guardians. So the first part, he added the wording in on the second one where it says to attend an open meeting held outside the student instructional day. We were asking that question about like the gym. He actually thinks his suggestion is to narrow it even further than that to say, like, if you don't have a child enrolled, where can you come with basically pretty open access would be casting a vote, which was number one. The second one being, like, you could potentially come to a meeting like this. This is a public meeting that is not really about, I mean, it's all about kids, but it's not typically a place where, you know, it's adults having a meeting, and it's an open public meeting, so somebody could potentially come to that. He had added that in as a kind of a narrowing of that, because what does it mean about a gymnasium for a community event means actually what he said above, which is if you do, you would want the option, if you did know, you would want the option of being able to A, either ask someone to leave if you had to confirm, if it was confirmed, or if somebody was on that registry for a variety of reasons, there's some different reasons why you can end up on a registry for something that could have happened when you were 18 all the way to the worst things that you can imagine. So then you go to number three, which is sort of this on a case-by-case basis. So if there were, and that would be then incumbent upon sort of the person to, you know, want to make arrangements and get permission and, you know, do that sort of thing. And you don't have to grant it based on the way the policy is written. So it, A, gives us the right to, if we if it's confirmed and we have any concern or whatever, we have the right to say, you know, you don't need to be here. And then that person does have a right to ask, you know, permission at some other point, not that night, not, you know, whatever, like, you want to set up a meeting and come talk about why you'd like to make a case to be here or what your story is or whatever. But again, we're not under any obligation to grant that access. And then, of course, it gets a little, there can be more access depending on if they're a parent or guardian, and again, depending on what the reason, you know, would be, because, of course, if they have a child there.
So are we defining even, you know, like a basketball game, they want to come to the basketball games?
We would have to sit down and talk about that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And is that the same for a movie theater?
So the movie theater is somewhat different because that's a third-party agreement. And so what he suggested is, and again, this is for discussion, but his suggestion is within those agreements, which we redid those in 2018, we talked through the whole process of building, requesting access to a building, and if you're, for a variety of reasons, like you want to teach a cooking class, you fill out a rental agreement, what's the form, you have to prove you have insurance, I mean, all those different things. He suggested referencing this policy in that document, and I said, well, what would be the reason for that? Because then does that mean that we as a school district are responsible for determining access to a movie theater, which is a community event, but it's in our school? And he said, well, if you want to be able to not allow access based on the fact that it is a school, do you see what I mean? So it's, he thought it was not a bad idea to have that be something that's written in and referenced in the third party agreement. So we wouldn't do anything else with this policy, but we would reference it and say, if you are renting or using our facility for whatever reason, teaching a cooking class, whatever, we could make that part of our purview. So if there were saying to them, we want you to be aware that you, as the person who's in charge of the movie theater, you need to know that this is still a school, and it could be incumbent upon you to make, to know who's in your theater. So it's a little bit of a difficult line, I think, because it is a school setting. So like on a Sunday, if there's a movie at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's a community event, but it's still here, and there's the commons, and if there was a group, you know what I mean? There's always that sort of...
Is that similar then during the school time? Would those same policies and rules apply to the community?
Well, during school time would be...
Well, but like to the community gym then, where we do have students going for gym class, so this would apply to the community gym while our students are there.
It could be that same, yes, that during that instructional time and during that, yeah.
And the movie theaters are student-run board, which is kind of an interesting twist on it, too.
Yeah, and I asked him about that, too, just to think about that. It's each district is unique in that sense. Like, that's a unique thing. Like, he was having to really think that through because that's a unique situation that's not every school doesn't have a movie theater.
Sorry, I'm trying to think of my words. So they would have to be policing who goes into the theater. And
well,
that just seems so...
It's not policing.
Basically.
Well, it's not. See, if you go back to the beginning, because that's one of the things that we had asked initially, was saying, if you are aware of information, made aware, and it's confirmed, you have the right to make a decision about that. We do not, we're not, though, held, I'm saying me or somebody at the movie theater or whatever, is not held responsible, like you're not a police officer, for standing at the door and saying, well, I don't know, somebody,
right.
I don't know. You know what I mean? If you're made aware, which in small towns, no offense to small towns, we are made aware. So if people have a concern and it's confirmed, you have the right to question that. Where does it say that? There it is, like in that second paragraph. This policy is not intended to impose a duty upon any district administrator or employee to review that register. You don't have to, every time you have a basketball game, I'm not going to sit down and do a preview of the entire sex offender registry in the state of
Don't
Alaska.
Let this person in.
It would be a really depressing job.
Yeah,
well, especially when kids man the door, that'd be great.
Yeah,
we would never want kids to be in that role. But I think that was his point. That was sort of the attorney's point about that, though, that it's a unique conversation to have because you do have kids
running
that. You know what I mean? So it's not really our job necessarily as a school district, but it's important, I think, to have that conversation even with their group, to say, you do have a student run group here, and I mean, certainly worth the discussion.
But it's also a borough-owned building.
So do we need a policy in place in order to remove someone? If we found that there was someone suspiciously hanging around or showing up to the movie theater,
chatting up the, you know, like if we had suspicions.
Mm-hmm. Even if they're not we knew on the
that,
registry?
Well,
then?
And
oh,
we
you
knew
know
that they
are.
Were on the okay. registry. Do we need a policy in place at this time to ask someone to leave our premise? Mm-mm.
This covers that. That's why he's...
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We
he's
need
saying,
this
mm-hmm.
in
need
order
this,
to be able to do that.
And you would want to reference it or have that be part of a rent, an agreement that you like that we have with Northern Nights Theater about lots of things, like who plows and who opens the doors and who cleans the bathrooms mm-hmm. and... You can't, you know, anti-discrimination statements and,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of that. That was the attorney's take on that, is that it'll, what that does is, God forbid, and I'm saying that some horrible thing ever happens at any location, at any time, in any realm. But his point about that is saying, if you've referenced that as a potential issue that you might have to deal with, whether it's in school or if you're in charge of the movie theater or whatever, saying we have done our due diligence to say this is our policy related to this. You may also want to be aware that this, you know what I'm saying? You may want to be aware if somebody makes it known to you as whoever it is that's in charge of the theater. There's somebody on a registry, they're coming to the movie all the time, they're sitting in the back, there's all kinds of kids, they come to G-rated, well, I don't know, I'm just saying a scenario. Somebody might want to know that's in charge of the movie theater. I might want to know that somebody was watching out for that if I was the parent of a kid who's going to a G-movie and I didn't go with them, you know? So.
I guess if anything, it just brings more awareness to being aware.
Yeah.
You know, just being...
Yeah.
And then in this case, for clarifying what parents
mm-hmm.
that have kids in the school district,
mm-hmm.
you know, their access to their student.
Yeah, right.
And
there
teachers.
As well, and what
mm-hmm.
how that, and the process for that, so. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, anyway. But there could be definitely more to talk. I mean, his suggestion about that was that we would probably want to sit down and kind of relook at those third-party agreements. So that's separate from this,
yeah.
you know, this conversation. That's kind of an insurance question, and there's a lot of questions there. So, but and I think that's it for that.
Any other discussion regarding that? Any motions or amendments?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. To make it yet. Well, do we make an amendment motion? No. I just think, like, I didn't know how we proceed to, if we like the additional green.
Mm-hmm.
Is it green up there,
pink
too?
Or pink or
pink
maybe
or
green,
green
on
ours, yeah. Of adding that language from the original one, since this is just the first reading.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, we could, yeah, you could... If you don't feel like how I read the motion
no, I,
covers the edits, then you could amend
no,
the motion
no.
to include the
I think
edits.
I think it's fine. I just...
I think we're assuming that it
yeah.
would include
the edits. Okay. That's
yeah.
what I wanted to make sure. Okay.
All right. If there's no other discussion, we'll go ahead and vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion, Board Policy 3515.5 passes at first reading. We will, of course, have a second reading, likely at the next board meeting, where there will be a public hearing opportunity if you have feelings regarding this board policy. Of course, we would always invite you to come in and talk to the district administration regarding any of the policies that we have in place. All right, we will move into new business now. We have our FY19 audit. We're going to
watch it on here.
Yes,
I'm
going to
move.
Yeah,
side.
You can move because it'll be.
Do I just have to hit phone?
Yep, hit new call and.
Yeah.
No,
I don't want
me to move. Will that be okay?
Well, I'll go ahead and move to approve the FY19 school district audit conducted by BDO. Is there a second to discuss?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Jay. So we're getting Vicky.
Hi,
Vicky. This is Mara. Hello. Petersburg. The floor is yours. We can all hear you. The floor is yours.
And if you guys want to know,
okay.
Wait, we need to.
How are you all doing today?
I'll get it. Okay. We're good. I'm just making sure. I'm turning
okay.
you up. Hi, Vicky. This is Erica. Can you hear us?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So this is Vicky Shrestha from BDO.
So hopefully you have the PowerPoint over there.
Oh, which one is
it? Two, for this presentation. And so, yeah, first of all, I'd just like to start by saying my name is Vicky Shrestha. So I'm the audit partner on the job, and we have been working with the district for quite a few years now. And first of all, I'd just like to start by thanking all the district's staff for going through the audit with us. It's a lot of work for the school district staff to get us all the information to complete the audit, and it does require a lot of resources. And like you can see, the actual financial statement is pretty thick, and there's a lot of required information that goes into the financial statements. And your financial statements does not just include the financial statements, it also includes report on compliance for federal and state single audit. You have always been subject to the state single audit, but for the past at least 2 years, the federal single audit did not apply, but this year you spent over $750,000 in federal funding, so as a result you also have to were subject to federal single audit in 2019. So that's the big difference. So first of all, I would just like to start by going through a few things in the document that we have sent to you called the audit wrap-up document. Does everybody have the audit wrap-up document with them?
The drafts.
Yes, it's on your email.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to quickly go through a few items in the audit wrap-up document. So the first item is the letter in there. So the professional standard requires us to communicate with you regarding matters related to the audit that, in our professional judgment, is significant and relevant to your responsibility in overseeing the financial reporting process. So basically, this letter has some information that should be important to you in your responsibility in overseeing the financial reporting process. So if you go to the page called Status of the Audit,
Vicky,
yes.
Are we on the PowerPoint, the wrap-up, or the draft?
No, I'm sorry. It's on the audit wrap-up document.
And which page?
Page 3 now. It's towards the bottom, you'll see the page.
You're there, Erica. You're good.
Status of the audit, right? That's the page?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. All right. So we've substantially completed our audit of the financial statements. The first bullet point there, the objective of our audit was to obtain reasonable, not absolute, assurance about whether the financial statements are free from material misstatements, whether due to error or fraud. So that's a really important statement there. When we come to do an audit, we spend about a week going through your the documents over there, and then we spend probably about 2-3 weeks out here in the office finishing up everything. There's no way in a week you can look at all the information from the whole year, right? So basically, as part of the audit, what happens is we use the concept of materiality, and we use our risk assessment procedures to see what accounts and what balances in the trial balance that we need to audit. And that's what's audited. And like I said, as part of this audit, a large chunk of the time is spent on the compliance work for both your federal and state programs. So the third bullet point there, we expect to issue an unmodified or a clean opinion. And right now the plan is to print on November 15th. And then the next bullet point there, we expect to also issue an unmodified opinion on compliance too. The second to the last bullet point there, all records and information requested by BDO were freely available for our inspection. And then the last bullet point, management cooperation was excellent throughout the whole process. Next page is the results of our audit. Just a reminder, in 2018, you had a new accounting standard that was applied, GASB 75 or your other post-retirement benefit portion of the pension was brought into the books last year. This year, we don't have anything like that, so there's no new accounting practices and policies that was applied. There was one uncorrected misstatement that you can see in the financial statements. It's attached to the audit wrap-up letter in your representation letter. Quality of the district's financial reporting, we didn't have any issues there. Next page is internal control over financial reporting. So as part of our audit, we don't just audit the financial statements itself. So the first thing we have to do, because you are also subject to an audit in accordance with government auditing standards. So what that means is basically when we come to do your audit, the first thing we do is we get an understanding of your internal controls over your key financial reporting processes. So when we're going through that process, if we find anything that we believe is a problem, then we put them into one of these three categories described in this page over here. So anything that's really significant, I mean not significant, really material, or it could cause a big issue, then we put that as a material weakness. Any smaller deficiencies where we think it could maybe cause little errors or maybe just inefficiencies, we'd put it in deficiency in internal control, and anything in between would go into the significant deficiency categories. For this year, we did have to report one significant deficiency, but this was more related to the compliance audit, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more when we get to the financial statements itself. So that's all I had on the audit wrap-up documents. Unless there's questions, I'll move on to the PowerPoint.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No questions. We're doing good.
Okay. So we go to the PowerPoint, and there's like one page in the financial statements, one or two pages in the financial statements we'll also go to, because I didn't include that couple of documents in the PowerPoint presentation. But most of everything else is a summary of the information from the financial statement. So I've just put the main or more important part of the financial statement, significant portion of the financial statement in the PowerPoint. So the first page on the PowerPoint is, or the second page I should say, is the independent auditor's report. As I talked about in the audit wrap-up document, the independent auditor's report, we are issuing an unmodified or a clean opinion. So we don't see any issues in the financial statements now. The next one, page three, shows a snippet of your statement of net position in the financial statements. So one thing to know is, you have this thick report, and there are the first two financial statement pages over there are your statement of net position and statement of activities. These statements include your long-term assets and liabilities, and those are not included in your regular trial balance. So this includes your long-term assets, which is mostly your capital assets, and your long-term liabilities, and majority of that is the pension liability. But like I said, these guys are not items that are on your trial balance, and you don't budget for these items either. So the statements that follow the first two statements are all the items that are in your trial balance and items that you budget for during the year. So your total, so this statement of net position is basically your balance sheet. It has your assets and your deferred outflow of resources, everything that you own basically, liabilities and deferred outflow of resources, everything that you owe, and the difference between that is your net position. So at the end of 2019, you had $5.9 million of total assets and deferred outflow. Majority of that, $3.1 million, was in cash and investments. Your liabilities totaled about $6.6 million, and a big thing to note on there is $6.1 million of that liability is related to your pension and your healthcare benefits for pension. That leaves you with your total net position of negative $1.2 million. So normally when you're looking at a balance sheet and you see a big negative net position like that, then that would be a big area of concern. In your situation, majority of that, the reason for that deficit is because of your pension. And the main thing to understand on that is the pension liability is not due tomorrow or due next year or whatever it is. The legislator has capped how much you need to contribute to the liability at 22% for your PERS employees and 12.56% for your TERS employees, and really based on their payroll. So that's all that you're required to pay. So even if this number is a huge negative, that's the big difference there. And then the other item on your financial statements is that most of your buildings and everything are, the buildings where the schools are not included in your books. Those are actually on the borrower's books. So that skews these numbers a little bit too. Any questions on that?
Nope. I think we're doing well.
All right. So the next one, the next slide over there is the governmental fund balance sheet. So unlike the statements we just talked about, these are the statements that you budget based on. So these show basically your general fund, the two major funds, the general fund and capital projects funds are your two major funds. And all the rest of your funds are grouped together as non-major funds, and those are shown over here. And similar to the statement of net position, the balance sheet has your assets, everything that you own, liabilities, everything that you owe, and the difference is your fund balance. At the end of 2019, your total governmental funds assets was $3.6 million. Out of that, $1.1 million was in the general fund and almost $2 million was in the capital project funds. And your fund balance at the end of the year for the general fund was $1,058,000 and total was $3,094,000. Next slide is your statement of revenue expenditures and changes in fund balance. This is basically your income statement or your profit and loss for the year. So same as the slide before, this one separated between the two major funds and the non-major governmental funds. Your total revenue for the year was almost 10.5 million. Majority of that, 8.7, was in the general fund. And most of the district's funds that's received as revenue, usually it pretty much matches your expenditures too. So your expenditures for the year was $10,490,000, leaving you with a small $1,382 of excess in revenue over your expenditures for the year. So the next one is just shows the transfers that were made from the general fund in 2019. And there was $100,000 that was transferred to your capital projects fund from the general fund.
That was at one-time capital.
After that, the next slide 7, shows the original and final budget and comparison to actual for the general fund. And majority of your non-major governmental funds are usually grants from the state or federal organizations. And those, your revenue equals your expenses, so there's a budget that's done, but usually you're limited to whatever you receive. And then the majority of your time budgeting for the school is in the general fund over here. So at the beginning of the school year, before the school starts, you do the original budget, and throughout the year there's some changes, and that's what results in the final budget. So this statement, you can kind of see like how you did compared to the original budget too. So you had originally budgeted $8.3 million for revenue, and what you actually received was $8.7 million. same. So following your revenue, your expenditures also increased, right? So you budgeted $8.4 million and you spent $8.6 million. So leaving you with $81,000 of excess of revenue over your expenditures in the general fund. Any questions so far?
No questions. I think we're doing well, Vicky.
Okay. So we can kind of go through the next few slides. This just tells us that, you know, we made this following the financial statements. But there's a few items in the non-major governmental funds combining statements that I just wanted to point out. Like the student transportation has about $61,000 in fund balance, and your food service has $290,000 of fund balance. Next slide, all of your scholarship funds at the school districts, there's about $78,000 in fund balance or cash for those scholarships right now. Next phase, we just highlighted a few funds where the revenue and the expenditures don't equal each other. So for your student transportation, your expenditures exceeded your revenue by $21,600. And for your food service, which is this is new to me for a school district there, you actually made more money there than you spent.
Hey, Carly.
And then the next slide, this just shows some of the scholarships. I mean, you had $68 in income from investments for those, and your $2,000 of scholarship was given out in 2019. And then following that, we'll go on to the capital project funds, which will be slide 14. So if you go a couple of slides over. And this statement shows the different capital projects that you have going. At the end of 2019, out of about $2 million in total assets, $1,074,000 was for your kitchen remodel, and the rest are distributed in the other projects that you have going there. Next slide, for 2019, The major capital project that was funded by the state was the kitchen remodel for the $620,000. So, yeah, following that, there's a few other statements there. And then we will actually go on all the way to the 10-year comparisons that we show every year. So we'll go to slide 18, page 18. The total assets for the year was $3.7 million, and if you look at the trends there, like you were at $1.8 million in 2010, now you're up to $3.7 million. Next slide is your fund balance. Along with your increase in your assets, your fund balance has increased too. You're at $1.3 million in 2009. You're up to $3.1 million now. Next slide is your total revenue. This has pretty much stayed steady, and there's been a few years when you've got more money. Probably 2014, 2015, there was a few capital projects done during that time. Next slide, following the revenue expenditures follow in the same order, so you can see the trend, it's the same. Next slide, general fund revenue compared to 2009, it has gone from $7 million to $8.1 million, but stayed pretty steady for the last few years. Next slide, general fund expenditures, the expenditures follow your revenue, so the trend has been the same. Next slide, general fund balance. It was at $810,000 in 2009, and you are at $1 million. You are at $1 million now. general fund changes in fund balance, this fluctuates from year to year, but for this year, there was a minor change. The next slide is your schedule of compliance. So the state of Alaska does not want you to keep more than 10% of your fund balance subject to limitation for your of your expenditures. So for this year, you still met the you were under the 10%. You're at 9%. And then I have a couple of other slides just comparing a couple of those funds where your revenue and expenditures don't equal each other. Food service, like I was saying earlier, the revenue was a little bit higher than expenditures this year, and that trend has just started reversing in the last couple of years. Transportation, on the other hand, except for one of the years, the expenditures have been higher than what you've got from the state. The next slide, as I said earlier, along with the financial statements, we also audit your compliance and your, so because you got more than $750,000 of funding from federal award this year, so you are subject to federal single audit, and then you're also subject to state single audit. We didn't have anything to report on the state single audit, but we do have one finding to report on the federal. And for that, can we actually go to the financial statements? And we're going to go to page...
My guess is the very end.
Sorry, I had the wrong financials in front of me. Page 117. So page 117 shows a summary of the audit's result for the compliance audit that we do. Like we said earlier, we have an unmodified or a clean opinion on the financial statements and on the federal and state award. And like we said, we have one significant deficiency to report. And then one thing to also note is last year we presented a material weakness for timely reconciliation of the financial statements, and we don't have that issue this year, so that finding was resolved. The finding you'll find on page 118, and this relates to the new procurement rules that came, that was in effect this year. So this is the first year that the rule went in effect. So one of the items we have to test now is anytime you spend any federal funds, you have to look for reasonableness of how much you're spending, basically. So what the district does is for any expenditures over $10,000, the district right now, its policy is to go and look for price quotes or like price rates from at least three different vendors. And then based on that, you choose usually the lowest price vendor there. So that just wasn't done this year. And this, like I said, is a new standard that came into place. And then this is the first year you were also subject to the federal single audit. And then I think management has already done the corrective action plan, and hopefully that can be distributed over there for you to see.
He's going to get a charger. So this letter that you have, these two pages, are the last two pages that are not included in the draft. So Bicky sent me the draft earlier, then we had to write these up. So these are not included, but obviously in the final fiscal 19 financials, this both sides of this letter will be included.
And that amount was the CERC?
That's CERC.
Mm-hmm.
So, and how... It's kind of a, Bridget, as the director of SPED services, is the one who speaks with CERC and gets the quote from her. So it was actually a disconnect in communication, and we're going to have the finding again next year because we're already in the middle of fiscal 20. We've already done, so we're going to have this for 2 years. But we've already started the process for fiscal 21 to get three quotes, or we're going to go out to bid. We haven't fully formatted that. And we haven't had a federal audit in 3 years. That doesn't justify the finding, but that's kind of how it all came about.
Well, and we were kind of surprised at it, just because CERC has always been the game that we use. I mean, that's where you go for all your
speech therapy.
Related services.
Yes, related services.
So, anyway.
I should also add that this is a new requirement. It was one of those requirements that came into play like probably a couple of years ago, but they kept on giving more time because everybody was having a really hard time with it. So the federal government themselves, they really do expect to see a lot of findings this next 2 years until a lot of organizations start following the rules too. So it's not just you.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. But that's all I have for the financial statements. Any questions, concerns?
No, I do. I don't think we have any other Connect questions. Thank you very much for being available to go over these documents. Thank you for all your hard work doing the audit as well.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah.
All right. Well, we will see you the next time you come through.
All right. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Thanks, Vicky.
Is that it? Hang it up?
Yep, I can just
the phone button. Yeah. Okay. Yep. So the motion that we have before us is to approve the FY19 school district audit conducted by BDO that Vicki just reviewed for us. So if there's no further discussion, then we'll go ahead and have a vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the audit passes, yay. A lot of hard work went into that, providing documents. I know that they took over the conference room for a full week, pulling different documents for that. So we'll now move into the FY21 budget discussion, and this will just be a budget discussion, really. But we're just kind of starting at a jumping off point about what we expect might be coming down the pike for FY21. The governor and the Office of Management and Budget is expected by law to present a initial budget on December 15th. And then they have until February to kind of make any changes if they indicate that they're going to make any changes, before they hand it over to the legislature, where they can then they hash it out. And then, of course, it gets sent back to the governor, where then all of the funding is, now this year, will be subject to the veto pen. The school funding, if you want to know the situation with that, for the budget there that we're currently in, our funding that we are currently getting, they are still discussing that in court. So the legislature sued the governor, saying that what they did was, by law, allowing forward funding of school district funding for 19 and for 20. Mm-hmm. And the governor was saying no, that it wasn't, that they hadn't been legally allowed to do that. So they took it to court. The state judge found in the legislature's favor, saying that what they did was legal and that the funding should stand. And then the attorney general indicated that they were going to appeal that. So we're still in that appeal process. So that's where we're at with funding that we're currently in. Yay. Currently.
But we have been receiving funds from the state. Just want to make sure that people are aware that we are receiving funds.
they did make that determination to go ahead and release them, mm-hmm. even though it was not decided in court yet.
So what we have heard and why we're just starting to discuss it now is because we've gotten indications from our representative, Jonathan Christ-Tompkins, that he is expecting to see the same sort of cuts that were presented in the February budget. That was about a 25% cut to education statewide. Here on our budget, that was a $1.4 million shortfall from the budget that we currently operate at. So as you can imagine, $1.4 million difference change in budget would be pretty significant. So we don't have any safeguards necessarily this year. Even if the legislature passes it unanimously, the governor can still do what he wishes, and then they would have to come back and have a veto override. So we're expecting to have a tumultuous legislative session, and I guess we just wanted to bring it, Erica and I just wanted to bring it to the board to start discussing how, well, I guess my idea with bringing it is like how we would like to start thinking about starting the budget process next year and what kind of direction we can give Karen in creating that budget for us, and whether we're going to look at creating a budget around a 25% cut, if we are going to look at avenues of advocating for increased revenues or what. Like, what kind of direction do we want to give our administration for working on it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's an awful lot of cuts to make up for that 1.4. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I've already been thinking about it, and the first thing I thought was sports. How can you do that? But we have to start somewhere, and my thought was middle school, unfortunate. But that still doesn't even come near, and I don't want to cut people.
Yeah,
right.
But everyone needs to think about it, because this is huge, huge for us.
Yeah.
And, I mean, less travel, no travel, you don't go anywhere. It's called computers in our age, and we can do conferences over the computer. You don't need to go to conferences. You don't need to go to classes. I mean, that's something that we really need to think about. Mm-hmm. So, you just hope that doesn't happen, but he has one more year left, and then what if the next governor, two more years?
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious?
He has 4 years in office. This was just his first year. Sorry,
I thought it was only 2 years.
Four.
I'm sorry.
Wishful thinking.
Well, so...
Yeah. And I think
no one wants to think about it.
Well, yeah. We don't have an option.
But I mean, I'm just parents out there. If you're listening,
mm-hmm.
it's coming down the pike, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And we might have to combine schools. We might have to bigger classrooms, which is unfortunate. Mm. But we really have to think about it. And you know, at the same time, think about what's best for our kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, I was thinking about the sports. Parks and Rec needs to step up their game, because they used to have a lot more programs.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they take over certain stuff. I'm just thinking about...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it is a community conversation.
Yes.
It's a larger community conversation.
Because
I've said again,
it's huge. Mm-hmm. And it's going to affect everyone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I have to say. Sorry.
No,
you're right. This is one of the slides from the talk you gave when this
it
was
is.
All released,
this is
right?
last year's,
okay.
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. This was, we just...
Perspectives.
Yeah, okay. We were just, you know, talking about this last year when we kind of were having these conversations with the community and with the board and with our staff and families and such. I mean, just to give that perspective of what $1.4 million looks like, you mm-hmm. know, because that's the part that's so,
mm-hmm.
it's just an astronomical number. Really almost inconceivable. I mean, to think about mm-hmm. just even from what Cheryl just said, if you're talking about a few classroom sizes or, you know, this amount out of an activity budget, it's a drop. you know, their drops. And
well,
so,
and you can't even take, we couldn't even just say, let's cut all activities, because we'll still need to keep going. I mean, we could say, yeah, we can, we'll just solve it. We'll just take away activities, but that won't even solve it. I mean, that it'll still be that. It'll still be, it will eventually have to go into personnel in something. Like if we say the swim program goes away, well, we have personnel in the swim program. If it, we say music went away, we have personnel in the music program. So,
yeah, everything's attached to people in that sense, in some fashion, which then translates to programs and, you know,
and
activities.
People moving
kids.
Away.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah. And that's, and I think that's that community conversation, like you're saying. There's that, it's a larger, you know, perspective. And like Mara's saying, you could do something for 1 year that might address something for 1 year, but it's not a, that's not a longer term, you know, solution. And so, so then, yeah, that's the part that I think makes it difficult when it's such an astronomical.
And whatever we decide to do, it's not going to be easy.
No.
Not at all.
No.
And I am not looking forward to this year. I really am not.
Well, and the unknown of it all, too, I think, is what, you know.
Maybe he'll surprise us all.
You never know.
Like he did a year ago.
You never know. I mean, I do think the one thing about the recall, whether it's, you know, politically people can have their opinions about that, however that looks, but that pressure, I think, has been important in that sense, too, because I think it is people's voice. Mm-hmm. Again, whether you agree or disagree or you're part of that movement or not, it's it was a large voice that's being, you know, spoken out there. So I think that doesn't hurt us.
No.
You know, that there's...
But then there's also those people out there that, oh, the school does spend so much money, and why are they doing this and that? Mm-hmm. For goodness sakes.
Yeah.
It's our kids. It's our future.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You want to... I mean, if you have a complaint about what we spend, come look at what we spend.
Yeah.
And what we cannot save.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's another huge...
Yeah.
We can only save
10%. For these difficult times. Mm-hmm. If we had been able to
and
save
and we've been
more.
Really good.
We could have buffered ourselves.
That's one place I think we could probably start those, make sure we get our budget reserves back up to the full 10%. And overall, we're at 9%, which is just 1% more we need, but we probably need to be as prepared as we can to have that full 10% start. So we've got at least some cushion.
There is some strategies that we can mm-hmm. consider. One is if we get the second time capital funding of $200,000, we could consider putting that into prepaid expenses for next year. We could pay 3 months of health insurance, which would be a position or a program. I mean, there is some things that we can do to strategize, but if this comes to fruition, it's really unfathomable in as far as the quality of our education with the funding that we're receiving. You saw in the financial wrap-up from Bicky, it's like we've been pretty flat across the board for the last 10 years. There's not been any growth. So, but we're still providing really high-quality programming and education for our students, and that's really what it boils down to. But how do you fit... You have a 100-piece puzzle and you're taking out 25 pieces, but you have the same perimeter, you're going to have gaps. So what does that look like? I don't have the answer.
Federal mandates that say, no, you have to provide this, even if the money is better spent elsewhere. We don't have that liberty that a borough has, a hospital has, any other nonprofit. And I think that's what the other conversation with the community is. Yeah, you can say that, but it doesn't mean we can take that pot of money and go buy paper or, you know, staff another position when we really need it. Because your classroom is 36 kids.
Right.
You know?
Or plus,
yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, the horror stories from some of the other states.
Yeah.
Of how large their classrooms have, you know, a number of kids not even having... desks to sit in because there's enough room. I mean,
So I think it will be interesting to see what he does in December, because that's when he's supposed to drop his initial budget. And
But I wouldn't hold your breath on anything that is presented in December, quite honestly. I mean, just my feelings from him, he will wait till the very last minute to get by with the least amount of traction until it's like 0 hour for it to finally people start believing, like, oh, that's really what you're going to do. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like we saw last year where he put Governor Walker's budget in as a placeholder and then waited till the very last day possible to give his actual budget that he wanted to present. So.
Well, I mean, I think that conversation of talking about, you know, that community conversation, the borough conversation, priorities within the borough and what that looks like, secure rural schools funding. You know, we've had conversations in the past with the borough, with the assembly, with Steve about contribution. I know they've been trying over the last few years to try to sort of bump up their general fund contribution to us and not be so reliant on secure rural schools, which I think is very smart, just because the placeholder, you know, that's not been what they've been receiving. And I don't know where secure rural schools is going to end up either. That's also still out there. So I will say the borough has made that comment to us before about that the secure rural schools money is there to be used for, you know, projects and things within our school, and that's true. But it's sort of like the same conversation about, you know, hacking out activities 1 year. It's not really a long-term solution, you know. So I think that's, it's good to know that there are some reserves there for, I mean, trying to absorb a 25% reduction to a budget our size in 1 year is unfathomable. So we would have to do, in my opinion, a combination of things. We would have to talk about what things are going to look like from the borough perspective, what that secure rural schools money would look like, what can we do within our own budget, what can we do as far as some bigger conversations about things like, you know, we talked last year about the pool and the community gym and the heating and that partnership. And again, it's not as simple as we do or we don't. You know, mm-hmm. I think that is a larger conversation for our community. We're a pretty resourceful community. And I think if we have priorities and we talk about how that can look and, you know, we have a kind of a multi-pronged approach to it, but it's bigger than us, I guess, sitting at this mm-hmm. table. It's bigger than us to be able to solve that because it's astronomical.
Yeah. So. And the community right now through the general fund or the community services budget provides 1.4 million?
We get 1.8 from the borough and their contribution is about 1.1, it ranges between 1.2 and 1.4 depending on what year. I think this year it was 1.4.
I think so.
And so them
400,000 being
coming
taken
out
from
of
the
secure
fund
rural schools, yeah.
Yeah.
To bring us to the 1.8, which the school has been at for over a decade.
Mm, 19. More than that.
19 years.
Yeah.
So 19 years of flat funding coming from our community, which, you know, that is us too. We are the ones that are paying into that money that then goes to the school. As property owners or as a renter, you're likely covering the costs of your landlord's property tax. So just so everyone knows that, you know, the area wide is set at 4 mills, I believe 4 point something mills, and that's where they draw the 1.2 to 1.4 million dollars that they give to the school district. So if it's important to you,
yeah,
it might be a conversation that we have on a community level regarding property tax or
mm-hmm.
sales tax or ways that the borough could raise revenue.
Without depending on the state.
Without depending on the state and for an entity that can't raise revenue. We cannot raise revenue for ourselves.
Right.
And we would rely on the borough or the state to raise those revenues for us. So we may have to...
Yeah.
We may have to have some sort of conversation like that. If the school is important to our community, then we need to treat it as such. that it's important to us, and
yep.
and not just say that it's important. So that's my two pieces.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
So, of course, your voice is always needed to tell our representatives how you feel. You can write to our...
And the governor.
And the governor, yeah, the governor. Jonathan Christ Tompkins is our House representative, and Senator Bert Stedman is our senator until those lines are possibly redrawn. And so, yes, they're getting ready to go back into session at the beginning of the year, so you can start emailing them now if you'd like. AASB 2019 Fall Conference. Katie, give us a recap. What did you guys talk about up there?
To follow up that delightful conversation about the budget. The conference was awesome. I was telling Karen yesterday, the only thing that made me a little bit, I don't know if frustrated is the right word, but just being the only one from the district there was hard for me because I spent that first full day and a half in that new board training kind of thing with John and some other people. And so just missing out on the other really valuable workshops was really hard for me because I like to do everything. I don't know if you guys have noticed this about me. So that was hard. But luckily, Juneau School District kind of adopted me in the morning time for breakfast.
Nice.
You are referred to as the tall one.
I know.
Yeah. But they were super friendly. And
to other things, too, so that's probably not. That's probably okay.
I thought it was, you know, there's probably worse things to be talking
about.
Exactly. So over breakfast, yeah, we would kind of break down what was going on and stuff like that. And so that was nice that they kind of took me under their wing and all super friendly. I have like pages and pages worth of notes that I've condensed down from my notebook full of notes. So I don't know how long you want me to like talk on this all. One thing of note, well, I mean, lots of things of note. Emil Mackey from Juneau would like to do a roadless caucus next year. So he's going to be reaching out to discuss the possibility of that.
Great.
And trying to get a meeting of all these roadless school districts together to really focus on what our priorities should be moving forward, and also to try to get our school districts that are on the road system to kind of buy into some of our needs, such as the ferry.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that was really a good idea. So he should be reaching out to you to talk about that. Again, I don't know how much you want me to all say. But anyway, the snapshot tables were super fun. It was... they weren't long enough.
It's hard to
get yeah. here. Yeah. There's just not enough to, and it's so loud in there, so it's kind of hard to, like, focus. But I attended one, the first one I went to was on the new statewide plan for the early childhood and education. For people that don't know, I'm a preschool teacher, for a school teacher in the afternoon, and so my whole world is early childhood education. And so I thought it was important that I went to that one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking at ways that the state can help with early childhood and child care in the state of Alaska. And that their strategic plan should wrap up here in December. And so I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what the state actually says about that, because we know we need more quality child care. We need more quality preschool programs that are developmentally appropriate. I got to say my little PSA on that several times. Because having a preschool is a great thing, but we also know it needs to be developmentally appropriate because otherwise our kids are not going to succeed later on. The other little table I went to was on esports because I honestly am very... I went onto this table with an open mind, but I am not a video game fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I, last year when the kids came and talked about it, I'm just like, oh, why video games? There's really cool trees to climb. So I went into that just to get another perspective about it, and Billy Strickland was awesome, and I'm really thankful. I think, you know, all of the conference was great, but just that small snapshot table was, I'm really thankful I sat down at it and had an open mind, because obviously I think a lot of parents worry about video game violence and how that plays out in their kids' lives. At least I hope parents are worried about that.
They do.
And so I just asked him, I'm like, as a parent, you know, I worry, how are these potentially violent video games? And our esports team does not use first-person shooter games. So, and that's, like, it's not allowed. But the game they are playing does utilize other violent scenarios. And so I was worried about that, even though I know studies don't support the correlation between violent video games and actual violence. It's just, it's hard for me to understand how to separate that. But Billy summed it up really nicely, and he just said, well, if you're a wrestler and you do a wrestling move in the hallway, you're gonna have consequences. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. But just hearing somebody else, like, put it in a real-world perspective to me, because that was easier to understand than video games, because I don't play them. Mm-hmm. So I was really thankful I went to that. New state standards. Dormer was kind of talking about some of these things. Petersburg is kind of ahead of the curve with the new state standards with science and computer science and digital literacy. So that's a really good thing. Mm-hmm. I have paperwork on it as well. But the science is going to be more practical science standards, so there's going to be more problem solving, more hands-on stuff, which is great for our kids. That's what I want. Yay! And actually making them think through a problem and potential consequences and how to solve it, rather than just reading things in a textbook and saying, this is why our glaciers are melting. Our kids are obviously going out there and doing the work, so it actually means something to them, so that's a really good thing. Grades 4, 8, and 10 are going to be tested in the spring, starting in 2022 on the new standards. Yes. Mm-hmm. What I liked about the computer science standards is they are individual grade levels, which I think is really important, because obviously what you're doing with kindergartners isn't what you're going to be doing with your third, fourth, fifth grade, whatever other grade. So I think that's really important that they did do individual grade level standards. Yeah, and then digital literacy, just making sure our kids are safe. And we're already doing so much of that. And our coding clubs and our robotics clubs and our esports, they're all teaching these skills outside of our classroom. And so that's another reason we can't cut our activities, you guys. So, yeah, we have really good things happening in our classroom and outside of our classroom, in our schools, and we need to keep them all going. So... yeah, I just have lots of notes, you guys. There was a lot, I'll wrap it up. There was a lot of talk about equity and trying to make things more equitable, especially with ESSA rolling out and stuff. And then we had roundtables about all of that as well, and then other things. But it was really powerful to me to talk to so many people from other areas of the state, obviously, but also usually when I attend conferences, it's like a conference of all other teachers, and that wasn't the case here. I was like one of a few. And so talking with these people that aren't in the education world other than they're on the school board or something, and their perspectives about what mm-hmm. makes a successful education was really cool. I sat and chatted with a student from Soldotna. And we had the scripted questions, like, you're supposed to ask this question, and I don't do that. So I asked her, one of the questions was, like, what is successful in your school? And I couldn't answer that question because it's boring. So I asked, what do you and your peers view as success? And she was really, she had a really profound statement that I really liked. And she said that, you know, the adults in her community, you know, success is, you graduate, you make money, you get a job, yada, 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 the standard. That's how you're a successful person. But she said that her and her friends really view success more in a as a community involvement kind of thing, and you're a successful person and you can lift everybody else up. And so that kind of played into all our talks of equity as well, and the fact that we really need to be listening to our kids more. So yeah, there's just a lot going on. The state is going to put, hopefully going to put a focus on more holistic behavioral health resolutions next year, which I'm excited about. We do a lot of it here already with our partnerships with Petersburg Mental Health and our other resources that we have, because we do have a lot of resources for our kids and for our staff too. So it'll be interesting to see how that will kind of shape what's happening. Hopefully we have a budget in our state to work with to make some of these really important things keep going. Yeah, overall, really positive experience. I really had a great time.
Glad you went. We're sorry you weren't there.
It's okay. You know, I mean, it was all right. I still took a lot out of it. Yeah. And then after conference, I was like on social overload, so I just went to my hotel room and I finished all of my continuing ed credits for the year.
Good job,
girl. Yeah. So super like efficient use of my time here. So
good.
Yeah. So thank you for letting me go.
Yes.
Yeah. It was really a good conference.
It's great. And I had lots of feedback from people that I know there. I already told Katie this, who said that she was awesome.
Yeah.
A great
good.
Participant. So
we have found over the years, I know a lot of us are longtime board members, but have found that going up to that annual conference just really keeps us on top of what's going on around the state with other school districts. You're able to network and discuss with others, and as well as get a lot of beneficial training from experts in the field about governing a school district and what our role is and what administration's role is and et cetera. So we have always found it valuable to go to that.
And I think, too, for me, because my world is all early ed, it applies to so many different parts of my life, what we were talking about. And so I think that hopefully will make me a better advocate for the kids in our community. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Sure will. All right. Moving on to classified staff resignation acceptance. The board recognizes the resignation of Kaylin Lohr, food service aide, effective Thursday, October 31st, as accepted by the superintendent on behalf of the board per our board policy 4117.2. And then 2019-2020 classified personnel hire. I move that we approve the hire of Stevie Schmidt, who is a high school aide in the PILP classroom. Mm-hmm. Winter Skeek, elementary school aide. Audra Nitro, the food service, part-time food service and part-time elementary parapro, and Kelsa Spurl as a full-time food service employee. Is there a second?
Okay.
Seconded by Cheryl. Is there any discussion? Does anyone have any discussion? All right, Irene, call the roll.
Mara Lutowski.
Yes.
Katie Holman.
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Cheryl Pyle.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
All right, any additional comments from board members?
You know, back to this budget thing, is that we are not the only district that's going through it.
That's true.
I just had this idea of when it all happens and maybe districts should get together and what are you guys doing? Mm-hmm. What are your guys' plan? What are your ideas?
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
Wrangle.
We could easily do a virtual work group
kind
of conversation between boards and having some staff members there, administration, I think. Because we all do it in pockets, like at board meet, or I mean, like at board trainings or superintendent meetings or whatever, but it might be, I agree with you, actually. Mm-hmm. I think it could be really powerful.
Yeah.
Well, AASB, and I don't know about necessarily involving them, but they just did some training. They did combined district training up in the north, and they had some combined district training on Prince of Wales. So there's also the possibility, I mentioned to Timmy that I think it would be great to have just a southeast.
Yeah.
And even if that does include Juneau, because a lot of times, you know, Juneau is so much bigger than us, but I have found really some valuable information from their board members, like their suggestions, even though we couldn't necessarily play it all out here with our funding levels, but I think they've had lots of good suggestions as well.
Yeah. Well, it's like that roadless caucus like you're talking about. It's that same sort of idea. Because we're all facing a lot of the same issues, whether we're the size of Kowak or the size of Juneau, you know.
Exactly.
Similar. So, yep. We can do it.
All upcoming dates and meeting announcements can be found on the website, www.pcsd.us. Just click on the activities and academic calendar. You can see what's coming up. Any future agenda items? Any other new business or anything to be added under new business? If not, I move that we adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Cheryl. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? We're adjourned.
This live broadcast of the Petersburg School Board meeting is brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, offering asset protection and security through insurance. Home, auto, boat, life. Information from a real live person who's in the same phone book as you. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance at 772-3858.